Hey guys, welcome back to the Road to Madness podcast. I'm Matt Caglio.
I'm Mindong. 5 days until March Madness tips off.
Five more days, baby. Five more days. Very exciting stuff going on. We had three bids captured last night. That is 14 out of the 32 conferences that have a team going dancing thus far. A lot more conferences playing as we speak. Already played. We've already seen some upsets. We've already seen some crazy buzzer beaters from yesterday. So we got a lot to cover with a short amount of time, as always. So, let's get right to it.
Yep, let's just go over the five bids that were given out yesterday.
Three.
Starting off with the Southland Conference. It was expected that McNeese won, and they did. They won 92-76 over Nichols. On the good part, on the bright side, though, Nichols did cover their 16.5 underdog by one, so I'm happy.
Yeah, 2-0 from you yesterday, right?
Yeah, 2-0. Easy 2-0.
Easy 2-0. Yeah, and McNeese State, man, really good stuff with Will Wade and company. This is their third ever appearance, first time since 2002. 92-76 win over Nichols. 30-3 record for McNeese. Shahada Wells, their guy. He had 27 in that game winner. Where did Shahada Wells transfer from? You should know this. What are you doing with your shirt?
Dude, I mean, shout out Coach Lutz. I'm wearing this for the first time, but man, I'm trying to cut this tag out mid-episode, but I could give you both schools he transferred from.
Alright.
UT Arlington, TCU.
Beauty. Yeah, Shahada Wells, leading scorer. McNeese should be a dangerous team come March, looking like a 12 or 13 seed. We'll definitely see where they end up on Sunday in 3 days from now. So very, very exciting stuff. But, yeah, I mean, McNeese was expected. They're looking really good, and a lot of good things coming from this program. Will Wade will definitely have a high major opportunity. We'll see if he goes. He probably will. But, a lot of more coaching changes. But, McNeese should have a chance at going back to the high majors.
Yeah, hopefully we get to the coaching changes at the end of this episode. Not too many tournaments to cover today, so always a good thing to get the coaching changes and catch up on that. But, yeah, I project McNeese will be a 12 seed. And this is another very popular 12-5 upset bracket buster for the people out there. I mean, all the 12-5 upsets are pretty common, but it's a matter of picking the right ones, and I think McNeese State could be the right one.
Yeah, for sure. And next conference up, we go to the Patriot League. Another blowout win, and it was a team that we expected, the one seed, Colgate. They had a scare, like I said, in the semifinal, but they had no problems against Lehigh in this final game, 74-55. Colgate's fifth straight appearance. Like I said, this team has been dominant in the Patriot League, winning five in a row now. Seventh appearance all time. Braden Smith, Colgate's leading scorer. He had a pretty good night yesterday. And, like I said, 74-55 win. Colgate, 25-9 in the year. Projection line, probably a 14 seed, maybe a 15 seed. Right now they are a 15 seed. But your thoughts on Colgate and what they can bring to the table?
Yeah, definitely moved up because of the next final we're going to cover. But I projected them to be a 14 seed. And Colgate seems like they make the tournament every year regardless. And this is a team that likes to shoot a lot of threes, and they make a lot of threes. And year in, year out, they're always one of the better three-point shooting teams. The problem with them is always the size. I mean, when their starting two guard is 6'2", and you're playing starting two guards that are 6'6", that's always gonna pose a problem. But that hasn't stopped them from trying to play teams close. In the past, we saw it 2 years ago when they almost beat Wisconsin, and then Johnny Davis took over.
Yep, remember that one vividly. But, yeah, Colgate will always pose a threat, no matter how big or small they will be. They'd like to shoot the three ball, as we've seen, and expecting that once again. We'll see who they match up with in 3 days from now.
Mm-hmm. And last one is the Big Sky Championship. It was Montana versus Montana State, a little rivalry. And Starch Madness, what do you think of that name? I didn't know that was called that until 2 days ago. I think that's better than the Arch Madness name.
Yeah, I love Starch Madness. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, and Montana State won this game 85-70. Shocker. We would definitely see them in Dayton alongside.
You think so?
Yeah, I think we'll see them in Dayton.
They're projected 15 line right now.
Montana, that's Montana, dude.
No, Montana State.
Really?
Mm-hmm. According to Lenardi, they're as of earlier today at 2 a.m.
Interesting. But, yeah, Montana had this game for about 30 minutes, and Montana State just went crazy. That's all I can really tell you. But, yeah, what are your thoughts on Montana State?
Yeah, Montana didn't score for about 4 minutes in that second half, around the 10-minute mark in the second half. And then Montana State blew the doors open. Winning that second half, 53-32. Yeah, Robert Ford, man, he's the real deal. 22 points in the win. He looks phenomenal. 22-9-4, to be precise. Yeah, he looks really good. And Montana State, yeah, I mean, they weren't expected to be here. But, hey, I mean, they always get the job done no matter who their coach is. This is their third consecutive Big Sky victory. And this is their sixth appearance all time. And, yeah, I mean, I know their record 17-17. But, hey, I mean, they got here for a reason. So they're hungry. And they're going to look to try and pull off an upset. I know that they're – defense isn't that great, but they know how to shoot the ball and they know how to score. So that could always pose a threat to whoever they will play, whether that's a 2 seed or a first 4 game, yada, yada. But I think Montana State's a very good team, and they've looked very solid. And perfect time to peak is looking to be an underdog. So we'll see what happens with them and see where they go.
Definitely agree. And for those wondering, I did finally cut the tag off.
It took you like 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. Righty scissors for a lefty is hard, man.
Fair enough.
But all next, right. We will go to the conference tournaments. Big upset in the A-10 before we get things. St. Joe's has upset the top seed. Richmond, what are your thoughts on that?
Surprising. Very surprising. I mean, Richmond was a favorite. They were the one seed going into this thing. But, yeah, I mean – shout out to Eric Reynolds, a second 30 points in that win for St. Joe's. And the Bit Thieves are coming from the A-10. I mean, we expected this, and we're seeing it in full force. So huge shout out to St. Joe's. They will await the winner of UMass and VCU, which is happening, I believe, later today.
Yep. And we will get to the MAC, where chaos has already been happening. The one seed, Toledo, took on the 8 seed, Kent State. And Kent State won this game. My computer is currently frozen, but if you don't mind.
67-59.
Yeah, in an absolute shocker. So Kent State on to the next round. Toledo, once again, always in the top of the MAC and can never get the job done. But Kent State awaits the winner of the 4-5 matchup. That would be Bowling Green versus Central Michigan. That is on right now. Very close game so far, a couple minutes in. On the other side of the bracket, you got the 2 seed Akron taking on the 7 seed Miami of Ohio, and the 3 seed Ohio taking on the 6 seed Western Michigan. Who do you have coming out of the MAC?
Yeah, I mean, my pick would have been Toledo, but obviously got stunned already. 11 a.m. tip off. I mean, that always expects for chaos, and that happened. So, yeah, I mean, it's really – really open now. I mean, I really do think it will be a 2-3 winning this thing, either Akron or Ohio. My consensus is leading towards Akron. I think Akron's a very solid team. They've always seemed to have the right pieces at the right time, and I believe that Akron will get the job done, who they'll play in the final. I'm going to go with Kent State. I'm going to go with Kent State, the 8 seed, making it all the way to the final, but falling just short to the 2 seed.
Yeah, I'm going to have Akron as well, led by, obviously, Enrique Freeman, who's been there 5 years now and has an extra year eligibility. So if you see him at Akron next year, once again, they're going to be a problem. And Ali, obviously, a very familiar name for us as well. And I think they'll be facing Bowling Green. Bowling Green has been a shocker, obviously. Hired Todd Simon out of Southern Utah, and they've been a very good team this year. And they've surprised a lot of people. They've definitely surprised me. And I think same with Central Michigan. I mean, would you think coming into the season that Central Michigan will be a top four team in this conference?
No.
Yeah, same with me. But I got Bowling Green and Akron in the final, and I think Akron going dancing, and I think Akron could pose a problem to a lot of teams. They have a great group of big men. They got a good group of guards, and they're just a very good team, a very, very good team.
Definitely agree. Next conference up, we go to the WAC conference. The first round happened yesterday. It was Cal Baptist, the 8 seed, taking down the 5 seed Utah Valley, and it was a thriller in the 6-7 matchup. Stephen F. Austin with a huge, huge game-winning three, beaten. Who did they play? They played Abilene Christian. Fantastic game. But Stephen F. Austin goes to the next round, and Cal Baptist, the 8 seed, goes on to the next round. The 1 seed won the WAC with no surprise was Grand Canyon. The 2 seed, Tarleton State, they await the winners of these quarterfinal games happening later tonight. It is the 3 seed UT Arlington taking on the 6 seed Stephen F. Austin, and the 4 seed Seattle taking on the 8 seed Cal Baptist. Your thoughts on the WAC?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a 1-2 conference final. I think Grand Canyon is going to make it, and I also think Tarleton State is going to make it. That being said, I think it's going to be the double crown for Grand Canyon.
Yeah, Grand Canyon, I mean, they look really good. I mean, you look at them, and we'll see where they end up being if they do win. They're projected to be a 12 seed right now, and that's probably the consensus. I mean, Grand Canyon, on paper, a very good team. They are 27-4 right now. They've had a couple of good wins. They lost to South Carolina earlier this year, but they beat the Aztecs when they were ranked earlier this year, if you do recall. And they've had a couple other good wins under their belt. So, yeah, Grand Canyon, definitely a team to watch out for. Ty and Grant Foster, this dude's a real deal. And Bryce Drew and company, very good stuff over there at Grand Canyon. He could be in the mix for a high major job this offseason as well.
For sure. And now we now move on to the Power Fives. The Big East is next. And the 1 seed, UConn, they just defeated the 9 seed Xavier by a lot. So UConn to the semifinals. Xavier, on the other hand, did defeat the 8 seed Butler to get the right to face UConn. Unfortunately for Butler, the tournament chances are now completely gone. We'll see them in the NIT for sure. The 4-5 matchup with the right to play UConn in the semifinals, that would be the 4 seed Seton Hall versus the 5 seed St. John's. The 2 seed Creighton, they'll face the 7 seed Providence. Providence definitely needs this win to get inside the tournament picture once again. They defeated 10 seed Georgetown in the play-in. And the 3 seed Marquette, they'll be facing the 6 seed Villanova. Villanova escaped DePaul by 1 yesterday. And while they needed that win, I mean, their metrics just went down dramatically. I mean, they moved like 10 spots down in the net and 10 spots down in every metric, and now their metrics don't look good. And because of that, they're now in the next four in conversation. They were the first four out. Next four out. But they were the first team out heading into this game. And just because you beat DePaul by 1, I mean – you moved down a lot.
Yeah, for sure. But, yeah, this should be interesting. Providence, I think Providence needs to beat Creighton in order to get in. They probably need to win another game as well to get in. For St. John's need this win more than Seton Hall in order to get in. I think Seton Hall should be in the field, even if they do lose. But St. John's would need to win. If St. John's loses, they will be out of the field. So, yeah, Providence and St. John's are the two teams that need these wins more than anyone. Will that happen? I think it happens more so for Providence than it does for St. John's, in my opinion. I do think Seton Hall beats St. John's and kicks them out of the field. Providence could give Creighton a scare. I could see that happening, but I do believe Creighton will still win this game. And for Villanova, I think Marquette takes advantage of them. And, yeah, so that brings you to a 1-2-3-4. It's kind of bland, but I think that's how the Big East will shake out. I don't really see any big piece coming from the Big East this year. But with that being said, my final will be Creighton and UConn. Very, very generic, I know, but I think that's how it's going to shake out. My winner, I'm still taking UConn. I mean, this team is an absolute force to be reckoned with. They're the number one team in the nation for a reason. And I know they had a close half with Xavier. They were only up by 1 at halftime, but they blew the doors open, winning that game by 27, like you said earlier today. UConn just has a lot of different pieces to go with, and that's why they're so dominant. I mean, Tristan Newton's their leading scorer. He only has 15 points per game. And you look at the other guys, you got Cam Spencer, 14.7, Alex Caravan, 14.2, Clean, 12.4, Stephen Castle, 11.2. They got a lot of guys that can dish, and they got an evenly spread team. So I think UConn is the consensus pick and definitely a team a lot of people will be taking within the big March Madness bracket themselves.
Yeah, same applies to Creighton too, which obviously, to no one's surprise, is going to be my Big East champion. Yeah. And probably my national champion. But you're going to have to find out probably on Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got Villanova beating Marquette. Mo Cooling, I think, is big. Especially, he's going to be ready for the NCAA tournament. That's been confirmed. But obviously, he's sitting out for this one. I think Villanova bounces back, beats Marquette. I think Creighton beats Marquette. And I think UConn has an easy sailing to the final. But I think Creighton's better than UConn, and I know I might be crazy for saying that, but I'm just a big Creighton guy.
Fair enough. I know you're a big Creighton guy. I think everyone knows that by now. But we move. Next conference up, we got the Big Ten. Big Ten, a couple of games already happening. We'll go with the playing games real quick. 12 seed Maryland took down the 13 seed Rutgers. Rutgers, man, a very interesting team this year. I know they're the 13 seed, but Their resume wasn't that bad, which is kind of crazy. Their defense was fantastic. The offense just could not get going. Maryland moves on. And the number 14 seed, Michigan. What a drop-off this was. Juwan Howard's seat is burning hot, my personal opinion. Michigan had a horrendous year. Number 11, Penn State, took down Michigan in that playing game, which brings us to the quarterfinals. This game already happened, but number 8, Michigan State, took down Minnesota. A little bit closer than I expected, but Michigan State did win this game. They move on to the next round. The 12 seed Maryland takes on, 12 seed Maryland takes on the 5 seed Wisconsin coming up soon. The 10 seed Ohio State takes on the 7 seed Iowa. That game is huge for bracketology in terms of Iowa. Iowa needs that win and probably another one as well. The 11 seed Penn State takes on the 6 seed Indiana, and that brings us to the top 4 seed as well. The number 1 seed, Purdue, to no one's surprise, will take on number 8, Michigan State. The 4 seed, Northwestern, takes on the winner of Wisconsin and Maryland. The 2 seed, Illinois, takes on the winner of Iowa and Ohio State. And the 3 seed, Nebraska. How about Nebraska, man? Very good year this year they had. Take on the winner of the 6 seed, Indiana, and the 11 seed, Penn State. Your thoughts on the Big Ten shakedown?
Yeah, on the top half, I think Purdue's going to have an easy sailing. I have Wisconsin beating Maryland, and then Wisconsin also beating Northwestern, and then Purdue beating Wisconsin to make it to the final. And I'm gonna be bold with this one. I think Indiana is beating Penn State, and I think Nebraska is beating Indiana. On the other side, I think Ohio State is beating Illinois. I think Ohio State's beating Iowa and then beating Illinois, and I think Ohio State makes it to the final, where they will steal a bid from someone and win the Big Ten.
Wow, that's a bold take. I honestly don't hate that. I really don't.
They've looked good. Chris Holtman. They really have. They're 5-1 with a win over Purdue, a win over Michigan State, 2 blowout wins over, I think it was, I got to check now, Rutgers in Maryland, and a win over Nebraska. So they've looked phenomenal. Their only loss was a close away loss in Minnesota, which is not too bad at all. But Ohio State's definitely looked like a different team since firing Chris Holtman. And I think they carry that momentum into the Big Ten tournament and steal a bit.
Yeah, don't hate that at all. I really don't. But for me, I'll not be going that avenue. I don't see Ohio State making it all the way. I could see them beating Illinois. I really could. I do think they will beat Iowa today. But I do think Illinois will beat Ohio State in that quarterfinal game. I think Penn State's going to beat Indiana. That's going to be my upset. I think Indiana is a very poor team this year. Mike Woodson, not a good year for Indiana. So I'm going to have Illinois going. I'm going to have Nebraska taking down Penn State. And then I'm going to have Wisconsin going to the semifinals, beating Northwestern. And I got Purdue going to the semifinals as well. I'm thinking Wisconsin to beat Purdue. I got a weird feeling. And I'm going to have Nebraska beating Illinois. And that brings me to a Nebraska-Wisconsin final. I'm taking Nebraska to win this thing. I think Keisei Tominaga is a phenomenal player. I think Nebraska has the right pieces to do some good things, if not in this tournament, in March Madness themselves. So my pick will be Nebraska to win this thing. First time since I don't even know how long.
Yeah, and congrats to them. They're safe in the tournament picture. They're probably going to be 8-9 seed, which is always tough. But
yeah, 8 seed right now.
And last but not least for today, we go to the SEC, where there's a lot of bubble teams. But first up, the play-in games. The 12 seed Arkansas versus the 13 seed Vanderbilt. And Arkansas won this game in overtime, 90-85. The Must Bus is still alive in the down season. And on the other side, the 14 seed Missouri, who did not win a single SEC game after being ranked in the top 25 at the end of last year. They took on the 11 seed Georgia. And obviously, Missouri's season has ended while Georgia stays alive. Georgia won 64-59. The four teams getting byes. The one seed. Is it four teams getting byes? This SEC bracket. Yeah. Website 14. so hard. SEC, you got to fix this, man. But the one seed, Tennessee, no one's surprised. The two seed, Kentucky, three seed, Bama, and the four seed, Auburn. And my computer. This SEC bracket, SEC, get on top of your stuff, man. Your bracket website sucks.
I have the bracket.
Huh?
The bracket's fine with me.
It's not fine with me, but all right. The 8-9 matchup with the right to face Tennessee. It is LSU and Mississippi State going on right now. I think on ESPN.
SEC Network.
SEC Network.
LSU's up 6.
Yeah, Mississippi. If Mississippi State needs this win. If they get this win, they're safe. But they lose, oh, man, they're going to be sweating on Sunday. The 12 seed, Arkansas. They'll face the 5 seed, South Carolina, with the right to face Auburn. The 7 seed Texas A&M needs this win to be in the picks tournament. They'll face the 10 seed Ole Miss with the right to face Kentucky. And the 6-11 matchup, the 6 seed Florida and the 11 seed Georgia with the right to face the 3 seed Alabama. Who do you have in the SEC?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, Mississippi State winning in for A&M. They need to win. If they lose, they're done. So those are the two key matchups for the bubble that I'm looking at. I do believe that LSU will knock off Mississippi State and get them a little bit of a scare on Selection Sunday. So I got LSU winning. For that South Carolina-Arkansas game, I think the must-bust ends here. I got South Carolina winning that game. I do believe A&M gets the job done over Ole Miss. I think A&M advances, and I think Florida also advances to the quarterfinals. And we look at the quarterfinals. I got Tennessee beating LSU. I got South Carolina beating Auburn. South Carolina, very impressive team. Shout out to Lamont Paris, a 6-year extension. So shout out to him doing some great things this year at South Carolina. That A&M Kentucky game should be a good one. I mean, I would not be surprised if A&M could pull off a masterclass Cinderella run like they did a year or two ago. I'm not going to pick it, though. I will pick Kentucky, but that would be a very interesting game to watch. And then finally, Bama, Florida. I'm going to go Florida. I think Florida is a really good team. They've really shown themselves these past 3 weeks as a perennial powerhouse. So I got Florida winning that game. That brings you to a 1-5 matchup, Tennessee, South Carolina. I could see South Carolina stealing this. No. I'm going to take Tennessee to win this game. And I got Florida and Kentucky. I'm going to take Florida. I'm really high on Florida this year. So I got Florida beating Kentucky, which brings you to a 1-6 final between Tennessee and Florida. And for Florida, I'll stick with Tennessee. I think Tennessee's the real deal this year. I mean, Dalton Kincaid is phenomenal. And Tennessee probably locked up a one seed already. I think they are the real deal. So I got Tennessee winning.
Yeah, I almost completely agree with you here. Everything you said, I almost completely agree with you. The only change I'm making is Texas A&M is beating Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, that's a close game. I really do think
it is. And I think Texas A&M is capable of being – they beat Kentucky before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're capable of it. And, like, they were ranked 14th in the preseason, and they've just had a really down year in the SEC and just in general. But Buzz Williams always finds a way to salvage his season. You saw 2 years ago, they had the worst non-conference schedule ever. They performed horribly. Somehow won the SEC. Somehow made it to the final, and they were the first team out in the bracket. That I think he's going to do the same exact thing this year, but this time they're going to be in the bracket.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening for sure. And looking at some of the games from yesterday, I just want to cover from a lot of different conferences. I'd like to start with the Cincinnati-Kansas game from the Big 12. Kansas looks terrified. I mean, that was a fantastic win from Cincinnati, 72-52 yesterday in the second round. Cincinnati, man, they're looking really good at the right time. Shout out to Dan Skillings Jr. This dude's the real deal, 25-7 in that win. Kansas, I'm really interested to see what Kansas does. I mean, I know Dickinson and McCullough should be back for March Madness, but will they be 100% healthy? Probably not. So Kansas is definitely a team to watch out for an upset. I really do see that happening. I really do indeed. Your thoughts on Cincinnati and Kansas?
Yeah, as for Kansas, I've said it, I think, for five straight episodes as well. There's a lot of things I say for consecutive episodes in a row, and I'm really repetitive, but they need their full starting five back. One guy missing on the starting five, it's game over for them. They need their full starting five, and then their complementary pieces off the bench, because we know that starting five is one of the better starting, probably a top three starting five in all of college basketball. And those complementary pieces, they play their role excellent. But when you have those guys in a bigger role, they just can't do it for 40 minutes. And without their starting five, it's going to be tough for them to make a deep run.
Definitely agree.
As for Cincy, they've put themselves back in the bubble conversation. They need a win. They just got to win. They just got to keep winning. I think they need to win a Big 12 to make it. But
yeah,
honestly, if they make it to the final, I think there's going to be a lot of conversations there. And I honestly think they would make it over Indiana, a team like Indiana State, if they were to make it to the final. Just because they're racking up quad one wins. They have quad one win opportunities, whereas Indiana State only has one quad one win.
Definitely agree. And another team I want to mention, it's Kansas State out of the Big 12 again. Kansas State staying alive in the bubble. Just took down Texas 78-74 yesterday. Tyler Perry, 21 points in the win. Kansas State was down by 10 at halftime. They win this game by 4. What a comeback it was for them. Your thoughts on Kansas State and even Texas?
Yeah, Texas, they're going to be an 8-9. They're going to be an 8 seed. I think they're definitely an 8 seed. But Kansas State has played themselves in the bubble. They've leapfrogged a lot of bubble teams. And they need to win. They need to win two more games at least. I mean, the win against Iowa State is going to be significant, but it's not going to move them in the tournament picture. They need to win two more games. Unfortunately, I do not think they get those two wins. I don't even think they get this win tonight over Iowa State, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, definitely agree. But that would be something if they do pull off that win. One other game I want to mention before we get to some coaching changes. It was BC taking down Clemson by 21. I was watching this game, and Clemson just not look good. And I'm very concerned for moving into March with Clemson. But BC, man, they are the bit thief right now from the ACC. They look really good. They play Virginia tonight. And what a turnaround it would be if BC can somehow pull off another upset against Virginia. Do you see that happening? And what do you think about BC and even Clemson or Virginia?
Yeah, I mean, BC went on this little miracle run last year in the ACC tournament as well. So I won't be surprised. That I think they could beat Virginia. I really do. I don't think Virginia's not that good, in my opinion. Like, they're not that good this year. And I think BC is definitely capable. They have the team definitely capable of beating them. And I'm going to give you a bet for this game since I went 2-0 yesterday. I'm a crazy guy. I'm going the under on this game. 124.5. I'm going under. I'm gonna give you the exact total that I think will be. I think this game, the total of this game, 111.
111. Yeah, I mean, not out of the realm of possibility for sure, but that's a very low line. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but couple more games I want to cover. Now it's my turn to cover a couple of games for you.
Go get them.
We'll go with Wake Forest and Pitt. I mean, this is probably the most important game in terms of just bubble. What are your thoughts, and who do you have winning this one?
Yeah, I mean, definitely you said it best. Whoever loses this game, probably out. Whoever wins this game, really good chance of getting in. I mean, Wake Forest right now, first four team out right behind A&M. Pitt is the first next four team out. So whoever wins this game has a very good chance to get into that dance. And for me, I think it's going to be Wake Forest for me. Wake Forest looked very good these past couple games. They got a lot of great options to go to. Hunter Salas, all ACC first teamer this year, really rising in his potential at Wake Forest coming over from Gonzaga. But, I mean, Wake Forest, the real deal. Pitt, I mean, don't let Blake Kinsey get hot. I mean, Pitt has been in this situation before, even last year. They snuck into the tournament last year, and they're capable of getting some wins. So this should be a toss-up game. Very excited for this one. 2:30 coming up right now as we speak. So I'm definitely going to watch this one and see what happens. But I'm going to go with Wake to win this game.
Definitely am going to watch this one the moment this episode ends. Going to edit this while I watch it. But another game, Boise State and New Mexico. We know Boise State's easily in the field already. New Mexico, the third team out, just behind Wake Forest and Texas A&M. Depending on those results of the other two teams that I just mentioned, they could be the first team out. But obviously, they need a win here. Do you think they get the win here?
I hope they do. It's going to be hard. It's going to be very hard for New Mexico to win this game, but I'm hoping that they can pull through. I mean, I'm high on the Mountain West this year. I really am. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say yes, but I will not be surprised if Boise State wins this game, but I think it'll be a very close game. So I'm going to pull for New Mexico to get more Mountain West teams into this tournament. But it's going to be a tough game, a very good game to watch. 11:30, late night madness. I'm here for it. I'll be watching.
For sure. Unfortunately, I don't think we'll do some coaching changes. We have limited time. We'll do that tomorrow because tomorrow seems like a dry day anyways. No finals to cover tomorrow. Not many tournaments to cover. But last game, we got – actually, I'll give you two more games. Duquesne and Dayton, a very interesting one in my opinion. Do you think Dayton's going to win the A-10 now?
I still don't. I still think Loyola Chicago is going to win. Duquesne's not a team to blow over by any means. I mean, I think Duquesne's a very solid team. I know Dayton already in the field with ease, but I think Duquesne could give them a little bit of a scare. That game should be an interesting one to watch. Of course, it's on USA Network. I don't think I have that channel, but
no, it's a national TV channel.
Then maybe I do, but we'll see. I think Duquesne's a – oh, I think I actually do have it. But anyways – I think Duquesne's a very good team, man. I mean, looking at them, I mean, I think they got a lot of good pieces to do some good things. And, it hasn't really clicked at all this year, but I think now is the perfect time to do so. I mean, beat St. Louis pretty good. It was a little bit of a scary game against George Washington, their second-to-last game out. But I do think they got some pieces to do some good things. I mean, with Day-Day Grant as the helm, I think they have a chance to pull it off against Dayton. So I think it's likely, probably not, but you never know. We're in March, so anything could happen.
Mm-hmm. And two more questions for you. The next one, Colorado, Utah. Who you got in that one?
Yeah, I mean, you know me. I'm rooting for the Rams, but Nevada's a very solid team, like we've said. I think you have Nevada to win this whole thing. For the Rams, I think they should be in the field, even if they do lose, but it would definitely hurt their chances if they do lose. But I think both of them should be fine. So, I'm rooting for the Rams to get a higher spot in the tournament. I believe they're probably in the 8-9 line right now. They are 9 seed right now. So I'm going to root for them. But, Nevada, the real deal, like you said last episode, they're poising in to be a
– I have no clue what you just – I did not say Colorado State. I said Colorado, Utah.
Oh, I heard Colorado State, Nevada. Oh, sorry. Colorado, Utah. Yeah, that's an interesting game for sure. Colorado – I think if Colorado loses this game, they're probably out. I think if Utah wins this game and maybe wins one more, they're right back into the field. So that's a huge game. I'm going to pull for Utah. I really am. But I think Colorado, like I said, they're on a hot streak and they're getting the ball rolling. So I can't believe I just mixed that up. I'm going to pick Utah to pull off an upset. and get a chance to go dancing. Colorado will have to wait patiently on Sunday to see if they get in or not, but I really do think if they lose, they're done.
Definitely agree with you, and less than 2 minutes left. I need a rapid-fire response. Predict the last four in.
Predict the last four in. Oh, man. Let me look here. I think Wake Forest is the last four team in. I think, let's see here. I'm going to take New Mexico to be a last four team in. I'm going to take Indiana State to sneak in there still. And I'm going to take St. John's.
I agree with three of the four.
St. John's is a team you do not agree with.
Yeah, St. John's is definitely the team I don't agree with. I think.
Oh, A&M. Yeah, I should probably put A&M in there instead.
I think A&M sneaks on the last four byes, and I think Oklahoma is going to be in a playing game.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. They lost TCU yesterday, right? So, yeah, I can see that happening.
Or Mississippi State, one of those two teams.
Yeah. True. For sure. Yeah, I mean, a lot of crazy stuff happening with this bubble. We got a lot of ancient watching to do and evaluating to do. A lot of games coming today as we speak. We'll be back tomorrow to cover some of these games and see what the bubble's shaking up to be come tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. Got a couple more things to look at tomorrow and some coaching changes. But we will be back tomorrow for another episode. That is all we got for today's episode. And yeah, just tuning in. As always, Bracket Challenge still open. Make sure to join. But we'll see you tomorrow. And thank you guys for watching. It's always March, baby.
It's always March, baby. The discount is still in place. Don't forget.